All right. Well, now we're, the main match that this show is known for, the Triple H versus Cactus Jack for the World Wrestling Federation Championship, and we already talked about the awesome video package that led to the match. Obviously had went through the stages of feud. Also had clips of Japanese death matches, clips from Hell in the Cell, the famous one with the tooth coming out of his nose, the Madison Square Garden Brawl in 1997. And I read in Foley's book, about his legit training for this. He had lost weight. He was in great condition. He had done a lot of cardio work and, so forth.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that he wasn't never to be mistaken for a muscle bound guy, but he had put in his work and was really ready for this match and kind of ready to make it. He was at least gonna do his part to make this a classic match, which it obviously turned into be. So.
Triple H comes out to My Time, which was weird to hear. Although I actually thought that was a pretty good theme. Well, not as good as Time to Play the Game, but
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. It was.
It's a little dated maybe, but I thought, the vocals I'm not crazy about, but the actual song's not bad.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie does walk out with Triple H, although as soon as JR questions her being there, she kisses him and goes to the back, so it's just the two of them. Both violent matches, they insisted that the women, not be present because they might get the vapors or, you
That's
know.
kind of a neat touch, though. They kind of let you know that this is gonna get pretty nasty. So it kind of could kind of build it up a little bit to the crowd.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that actually is a good point. So, basically the start of the match, Foley kind of trash talks him for a few minutes, or well, a few seconds really, and then they trade some punches. Cactus knocks him silly into the corner, and slides out. Triple H bails, but Cactus slides outside, does a swinging net breaker. And he basically just, everything that Triple H tries to do to avoid a Cactus, basically just, goes after him, attacks him, throws him into the stairs and table. Triple H is able to get control with the ring bell and brings a chair into the ring, but basically does go after him kind of stupidly and gets a chair shot to the head. He does sell for a bit, but then when Triple H is trying to get the take off the turnbuckle, he gets up and then clotheslines him down for the comeback. It's basically, the story of the first part of the match is everything that Hunter tries to do to either outsmart or avoid Cactus. Cactus is able to, outsmart the heel, which is I think is a nice, like Cactus isn't a dumb baby face here, for the most part. Even though he's gonna lose this match, he he's pretty smart. He's, that's nice. I think a lot of the times when guys are wrestling Triple H, I think Triple H is, I know part of his character is like outsmarting everyone, but when you're a heel, you don't really want to, always do that.
And it's also, this is kind of Cactus Jack's match, so he's not going to really be outsmarted, and this is kind of like, his match, so he's kind of. He kind of knows all the tricks and all that stuff, so I think it's important that they did that. And I also like pretty much right away they went and started in with the stuff. They didn't, mess around in the ring too long. This they wanted a brutal match and they knew that it was going to be brutal, so they just kind of got into it right away, I
Yeah,
think.
and I mean, I like building to some of the violent stuff, but it was, but at the same time, you want to. I mean, the entire thing was like a fight. It was like a real fight. I mean, obviously within the context of pro wrestling, but it's still, he was punching him, he was decking him. It wasn't like they were trading, doing test of strengths or, doing arm locks or, I remember the thing about the WrestleMania 25 main event, the Orton and Triple H main event, which also was a big personal issue, was when they actually came time to do the match. They did a traditional, basic wrestling match, particularly the first half of it, rather than make it like a big brawl. With all the angles they did, it should have been a huge brawl like this. Well, no way it was going to be as good as this, but Anyway, the storyline here was perfect. They didn't do anything wrong. I mean, it built perfectly. I mean, Foley keeps, he drapes a chair onto Triple H's face. There's a running leg drop for a near fall. He just punches him, keeps knocking Triple H down. Triple H does take brief control, but then he's backdropped over the rail. Then they, fight into the crowd. Triple H is eventually thrown into the very front set, like the street fight type set, into some bricks. They do a cactus suplexes him onto pieces of the fence. Actually, a piece gets lodged into Triple H's back of his knee, which it looked like it sucked.
Yeah, that was nasty.
They show some close-ups of that later. You couldn't tell right away. They do it. Gets a trash can to the head, and kind of just kind of like grabs his face and tosses him into the entrance door and just pounds his face repeatedly into it. And and Hunter, he'll get a spot in, like he gets a back suplex into a trash can, and he gets a few things, but for the most part, it's Cactus just beating him up, and trying to get his revenge for getting embarrassed and getting briefly fired and all that. So the last big thing, he hits the running knee onto the stairs, and there were probably 6-7 minutes in the match at this point. And then he goes under the ring and he grabs the barbed wire 2x4.
Yeah.
And it gets a big pop, and the ref tries this, like, I love this, that the ref, like, this is like too violent for the ref. Like, the ref tries, like, no, don't do it. And then there's like a ha- and he causes like a half second delay, and then Hunter gets the low blow.
Yeah.
And then he gets the 2x4 into the stomach and the back, and the stomach and the back. And he tries to go for the face, but Cactus gets him with a gut punch. Then he uses the 2x4 portion for the low blow, not the actual barbed wire. And then, Hebner, who's the referee, he tosses the 2x4, he gets it out to the Spanish table. And meanwhile, Cactus did double arm TBDT, which is his finisher. But because the ref's trying to get rid of the bat, he's out of position, and then he only gets a 2 count. Which I thought, just storyline wise, that was great. And yeah. You think that Foley could have won the match at that point, but yeah. Unfortunately, obviously, it doesn't happen. So
I thought the early part was really good, just because, like we said, this was Cactus' match. This is his type of match, and he kind of dominates the beginning of it, but yet he still can't quite get the best of Triple H. He's doing pretty much everything he can, he's owning the match, hitting him with all this brutal stuff, and yet still Triple H keeps finding a way to escape or do something. I think that it made it seem real, but at the same time it did a nice job of building Triple H up, into the guy that still found a way to escape or something like that.
Yeah, he's tough, but he's sneaky. You know, it's you want him to be a tough guy, but you don't want him to be too tough, obviously.
Yeah. Because
then
squash.
That's bad for a heel. So, and they did a nice job, but you're trying to build him too. So they did a nice job of striking that balance, I thought.
Yeah.
So, Cactus looks for the 2x4, which he threatens Hebner, and then goes to the Spanish table. He punches the main announcer. And the other one gives him the bat, although it's a different 2x4, which this one is a... The first one was a legit barbed wire 2x4. This one was a worked 2x4, which I have absolutely no problem with. This is professional wrestling. I don't want guys to get hurt. I have no problem with worked 2x4s. And you can barely tell. It's just the only reason that you would be able to tell is because the first one got caught. I think it might have been Cactus's shirt and got pulled out a little bit. And then the other one was perfectly, like, wrapped, So, then the ref doesn't want Cactus to do it, Hunter runs to attack, Cactus, but Cactus dodges, and there's a ref bump, and then Cactus, basically gets, the 2x4 into his face, he drops it onto his face, and then, Triple H gets bloody. There's a slow count, but it ends up being a near fall. It's sort of the Hebner traditional does a slow count at the end, and it kind of does that, but it ends up not being the finish.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the bleeding from the leg for the first time. And then basically, Hunter does, or Cactus, gets him in the face again, and he sticks it in his face. And at this point, Hunter's very, very bloody. And then Cactus sets up a pile driver onto the table, but Hunter reversed it into a backdrop, which did not look didn't break the table. Interesting that they used the first announcer's table, the English announcer's table, because they always would go after the Spanish table. That was kind of a running joke. And Hunter tries to do a pedigree in the ring, which Cactus reverses into a catapult, and then Cactus is a bulldog, bulldogs Hunter's face into the barbed wire, which another near fall, and they do a Cactus clothesline over the top. Both end up going over the top, and Cactus just tries to get a running start, but Hunter hip tosses him into the steps, and then Hunter tosses him. Does that other Cactus Jack bump where he goes knee first in the steps and the flip over,
mm-hmm.
which is an amazing bump that he
Foley's really he's pretty much going all out here with taking some of these bumps in this kind of section here. It's just pretty amazing, just the amount of brutality.
The only famous bump that he doesn't take, which I think he stopped taking in the early 90s, is I think he calls it the Nesty Plunge, where he's like on the apron and then he gets knocked off the apron and is like a back first bump onto the apron, which and hey, I have no problem, Cactus Jack doesn't need to impress me. He can, he does plenty here. And Foley's legacy is kind of interesting because he was so tremendous, but he led to so much stuff that I think is kind of pointless and negative about wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, he inspired a lot of, garbage wrestling. And he understood how to do it and understood how to get over and had so much talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he led a lot of, talentless guys. Or not all of them were talentless. Some of them were talented. But he led a lot of guys to try to do it and not do it as well and also do it too much.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Obviously, his style led to shortened careers and just... lots of problems, and he's even acknowledged that himself, people probably really shouldn't be following what I'm doing, or probably shouldn't have followed what I'm doing here, but, I mean, you looked like the way he looked like, you had to do what he had to do to get over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could get over because of his body. He got over because, he was willing to do those bumps, but also, even more importantly, he was a tremendous promo,
exactly.
He was tremendously smart, and he understood, he understood the psychology of a wrestling match as well as anybody.
Yeah, I think that's the key part. It wasn't just the huge bumps he took. It was everything else. He recognized that he had to do something unique to get over, but once he got over, then it was, you could concentrate on what he did, speaking and setting things up and psychology.
Yeah.
Whereas, and obviously he's going to be known for those matches, but he wasn't doing that every single match or every single week, whereas... it got to that extreme for a lot of guys where they'd have to do something like that every week or
just to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So now the Hunter or Cactus's knee has been hurt. So Hunter goes after it, does some chop blocks. He grabs the 2x4 and he hits him across the knee. And he grabs the handcuffs and grabs some handcuffs from the outside, I think from the table. And he tries to, Cactus's hands. This is hearkening back to the previous Royal Rumble, famous I Quit match with Rock, where Rock hit Foley in the head with 20 chair shots in a row, which is pretty pretty incredibly horribly awfully brutal. Although Cactus is able to fend it off for a while. In fact, he uses the handcuff. He wraps the handcuff around his hand, the chain, and punches him, which is kind of a neat thing, but eventually Hunter does get the advantage and is able to, first he actually brings in the steps to the ring, and Cactus manages to do, Hunter does get the cuffs locked, and then punches Cactus repeatedly, then he goes outside, brings step into the ring, and Cactus does, drop toe hold, where Hunter falls face first on his steps. It looked great, and it was a great setup. And Cactus, is able to, Hunter runs into a boot, so then he drops his, and falls backward, and then he drops his shoulder first into Hunter's groin, and then he bites him in the face. He's doing everything, even though he's got, his handcuffs, he's able, trying to do everything he can, but Hunter does eventually gets the advantage. He grabs a chair and gets him in the ribs and hits him in the back. Thankfully, we had only, I think, really only one chair shot to the head in this match. Which I guess, well, we have another one in a minute when Cactus goes out of the ring and into the alleyway, and then Hunter does hit him with another chair shot to the head, and then but this leads to like Cactus screaming at him, just, you know, do it again, come on, you know. And then Rock comes in with a chair shot to save him. Quickly comes in, but quickly is out, so you don't feel like, you know, it wasn't like it was unfair or anything.
Yeah.
And then a police officer unhooks the handcuffs. And then now Cactus is slowly going, you know, he's not handcuffed. He slowly goes toward Triple H, and he begs off, slams his face onto the Spanish table, and then he does a pile driver onto the table. And these tables apparently were very strong because there's no give on that pile driver. And, you know, as we talked about, the Spanish announce table was a running joke. How many pay-per-views do you think in a row that they
did
spots on the Spanish announce table?
Wow, it was a lot in a row.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I would have to at least date back to 97, maybe Hell in a Cell. Might have been before that. And do they even have the Spanish announce table out there now? Or I know they don't for Raw. They might still have it for pay-per-views.
I don't know. Yeah, they might for pay-per-views, or at least the big pay-per-views.
We'll have to pay that attention. We'll pay attention at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I bet they will at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't really recall it being. It's certainly not out there during Raw.
Yeah.
So this leads to getting to the finish where Cactus does carries Triple H into the ring, and he goes under the ring, grabs a bag, and turns up their thumbtacks, and he empties them out. At this point, Steph comes out and freaking out. They trade punches. Actually, Stephanie does give like a momentary moment of distraction for Hunter, and Hunter's able to actually take advantage of that and backdrop Cactus into the tacks. And Hunter does a pedigree, but Cactus kicks out, which, you know, not a lot of guys kicked out of the pedigree even then.
Yeah.
In fact, other than Cactus and the Ultimate Warrior, I don't recall, I don't immediately recall anybody else doing. I mean, there probably have been instances, but those are the two that stand out for me. And, you know, probably Rock and Austin kicked out of it, maybe. I don't know. Batista, maybe. You know, I'm not sure, but. Anyway, but he does the second pedigree into the thumbtacks, which end up all over Foley's face and shirt and arms, and also into Hunter's legs a little bit. And boot. It's a great visual. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of thumbtacks, but I'm pretty sure you hadn't seen a thumbtacks in a WWF match before this. So you know, in spurts they work when you're Abyss and you're doing them every week or every month. Not so much.
Yeah,
but,
it gets old. Yeah.
And that does it. It's a 1-2-3. The second pedigree does it in 26 minutes, 51 seconds. And, I mean, this match, it's perfect. It's one of the best matches in WWF history. It's, you know, in the top 10, I would say. You know, certainly, probably the best brawl they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are some other great ones, but it's just terrific.
In this era, especially where wrestling was super hot, you know, for this 4 year, period, this was probably easily the best match of that period, I would say.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's competitive with that. You know, there's also you know, Austin Bret Hart from WrestleMania 15. You know, first Hell in a Cell match. There's a few WCW matches that belong in that category. Probably some ECW ones too. But I mean, you know, I think this stands up with basically anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the post match is actually fun. Triple H gets stretchered out, but Cactus goes after him, wheels him back to the ring, and then he beats him up and gives him another shot with the barbed wire. So it gets. You know, it got Cactus some heat back, which he was able to, you know, use to set up the rematch. So, so even though, you know, Cactus lost, he still looks like a, you know, he still has that mystique. Like, he hasn't lost the mystique.
Still the crazy guy that doesn't matter if he won or lost, he still beat up Triple H, you know, a ton.
Exactly.
So, although, you know, looking back, it would have been neat to see Cactus win one of these, but. It probably made the most sense for him not to.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. That's true. I mean, it would have been a tremendous moment, but at the same time, yeah, you want to keep Hunter as the strong champion. So,
yeah.
Long term, it worked out for the best. And I mean, it got him over as a tough guy, set up, his awesome run in 2000, 2001, which we talked about before. Do you have any particular favorite moments of, Triple H during that time that, stand out to you as being the best?
Oh wow. The whole build-up was pretty neat. These couple months with Cactus Jack, I think that's kind of what I'll remember most, was just how you didn't really see it coming, and then all of a sudden he just kind of exploded, which, kind of seemed like that way for a lot of these guys that got over big all of a sudden. You didn't really see it coming, and then all of a sudden, they got over big, and that seemed like it was the case for him. He turned in a brilliant match and, took off from there. I'd say this kind of part right here was probably my favorite, but I'd probably have to think a little bit more about that later.
Well, he definitely had those matches with Rock. The Iron
Yeah.
Man match in particular was pretty awesome. I don't know if you've seen that, but throughout the summer, I mean the three-way storyline with Angle, which didn't really end very well, but that was great. He had a terrific match with Austin, and there's a lot of good stuff. So whatever you think of Triple H now, 2000, 2001, before the first quad injury, he was awesome.
Yeah.
And people, I don't know, fans who might be newer, I don't know what they think of Foley now. I mean, he certainly hasn't had the best run at TNA.
No.
He's done some has some good promos. I haven't seen many of the matches, but my understanding is that they're not so great. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of Roddy Piper, where Roddy Piper in 1998, 1997, 1998 wasn't so great, but
Yeah.
it doesn't, you look back at Piper in 85, or even 82, or some late 70s stuff in Portland, places like that. You can get some of that on YouTube. I mean, it's tremendous. So, and he also, I think people forget he made Hunter, there are other things too with anybody, no one thing's going to get somebody over, but he had a big part in making Hunter, Randy Orton, and Edge, who were, probably the top three heels in WWF in the 2000s,
Yeah, that says a lot for a wrestler when obviously you want to get yourself over, but when you can get other guys over and really turn them into, incredible wrestlers and stars, I think that kind of completes you as an all-time great or something like that. A lot of guys can get themselves over, but wouldn't get other people over, and that, I think Foley, understood the business and, didn't mind doing that, so.
Yeah. Well, now we are here in we here with the 2000 Royal Rumble, and there's some interest. You talked about how some guys coming out of nowhere. There's a number of guys in this match who kind of came out of nowhere and then got over. And I mean, not to the extent that Triple H did,
Yeah.
but that some very quickly became big stars and big attractions, and they were enormously good at getting new people and putting them in a good spot. And some of those guys kind of later hit the glass ceiling a little bit, but for a while they just were incredible at building new stars. So
Do you think this should have gone on before, or did they put this? Do you think Foley and Triple H should have went last? Or?
that's hard to say. I mean, I think generally, you want the babyface to come out at the end,
Yeah.
I do think the first few minutes of the Royal Rumble itself were hurt,
Yeah.
in a crowd reaction wise,
For sure.
because of the maybe of what had happened. But I think it worked out fine the way it was. I think it was pretty good the way it was.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm fine with the way it happened. So. The start was kind of dull. D'Lo Brown and Grandmaster Sexay
Yeah.
started. There was not much of a reaction to anything they had done.
Yeah.
Grandmaster Sexay, of course, is half of Too Cool. He's also in real life Jerry Lawler's son,
Yeah.
Brian Christopher Lawler. They did not do much of note. D'Lo did a running power bomb, but Grandmaster Sexay reversed it into a Hurricanrana. Mosh, Headbanger Mosh was number three. He had some very large cones who were that were like replacements for his breasts. It was kind of weird.
Barbless for Madonna, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like Madonna, like, yeah. I think he was doing sort of a cross-dressing thing a little bit. Was not very exciting. They kept having a Kai and Tai and the Mean Street Posse do run-ins that did not really do much, and they pretty much were eliminated right away. There was a memorable bump, which we'll see a little bit later. Christian is number four. He was not particularly over at this point, although Edge was, which we'll see later. Rikishi is number five, and boy, he got a pretty monster reaction. He had just debuted, and he pretty much knocked out D'Lo, Mosh, and Christian all in succession. And now it's Grandmaster Sexay and Rikishi who are friends.
Yes.
And then Scotty Tuhati is the next guy, and they decide to do their little dance.
I thought this segment was great. You know, it's kind of cheesy and stuff like that, but the way this all worked out, I thought I got a good laugh out of it, and I kind of like it when. They break up the Royal Rumble like this, where it's not just you got eight men in there the whole time, where someone kind of cleans house and they start it over again and stuff like that. I remember watching a couple of the old ones where that happened, and I think it was Hogan and Warrior kind of cleaned house, and then it was just them two, and then they kind of rebuild it again.
Yeah,
had guys in there. I think that makes the Royal Rumble a little more interesting when they kind of do that. And even this past year, didn't Punk kind of do the same thing?
That was great. Yeah, so. they really did a nice job of that. You know, almost every Royal Rumble had like sort of a dead period where they have too many guys in.
Yeah.
And this one did have sort of the middle. There was a little bit of that, but you know, they did it. The beginning and end of this Royal Rumble were terrific. The middle wasn't quite as good, but they do the dance, and then Rikishi turns on them and knocks them out of the ring, but he does not get booed for this. People understood. People loved Rikishi for whatever reason. You know, they love seeing the big Samoan dance. So, Steve Blackman is in next, and he's not in for very long.
Thank goodness.
No one likes Steve Blackman. Viscera is number I guess number seven, number eight, and when fatties collide, is you know, you could call this, and but Rikishi wins it pretty easily, actually.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, you know, I have a thing for fat wrestlers. So I'm not gonna lie, I do enjoy a good big man confrontation, but yeah, you don't want to overstay the welcome. Next is Big Boss Man, who decides that he will stall for a while, which is actually smart and gets him some nice heat. And then next is Test, who goes after the Big Boss Man, who he had just beaten for the Hardcore title.
Yep.
And he got a big pop. Interesting. Yeah. You know, I kind of thought he had really kind of fallen off at this point, but he at least was people still reacting to him as a star. It wouldn't last very long, but, British Bulldog is in wearing jeans for some reason. I guess he did wear jeans during that time. I thought that looked kind of horrible, but, you know, whatever. He had bigger problems than that, so.
Yes.
Gangrel is next and kind of gets half his entrance. Usually the thing about his entrance is that it took a while to get down to the ring, but with the short ramp, it does not, doesn't take very long. So, Kai and Tai does another run-in for some reason, and then Taka takes a nasty over-the-top bump onto his face, which Jerry Lawler loved. It's hilarious.
He cracks up.
Apparently, it's funny when somebody falls on their face if they're Japanese.
They kept replaying it as well.
They did, kept replaying it as well, and Lawler loved it. He also had issues figuring out if they were Japanese or Chinese, so... Jerry Lawler was a bastion of racial sensitivity, the thing. So it was a legit injury, too. I mean, he was fine a few He was fine a few months later, I think. But yeah, it's weird to see them making fun of that. But Edge was in, who got a big reaction as well. Even though Christian wasn't over, Edge was. And they would both get over soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then next is, you know, they're ring's getting a little crowded. They're, you know, guys are, you know, doing mock eliminations, but there's not a whole lot going on. But Bob Backlund is on next. He's got the Hail to the Chief. You know, he, I think in 96, his gimmick was he was running for president, so I guess he was still running in 2000. you know, maybe he was, you know, Libertarian or Natural Law Party candidate. I don't know, you know. And Jericho was next, number 15. And, well, but before then, everyone gangs up on Rikishi and dumps him, which the crowd was not happy about.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Yeah, just because of how it played out, you would have liked to see him stay. Maybe had something with the Big Show there at the end for a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe had the Big Show eliminated.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But, you know, they didn't, obviously weren't, there was no indication that, that he was quite that over.
That's true.
You know, the maybe they could have called an audible, but it, you know, worked out fine.
Yeah.
Jericho got in, and he got Backlund out pretty quickly. Crush Holly was in, who also got a nice reaction.
Yeah.
He was just a few weeks away from starting the 24/7 Hardcore Championship gimmick that he is most famous for.
Yes.
Chyna is in next, and she eliminates Jericho, suplexes him off the apron, but then she's knocked out by the Big Boss Man. And Farouk is in, number 18, and the Mean Street Posse do a run-in, even though they're not in the... and they're able to distract him, and Boss Man eliminates him. And Road Dogg is in at... 19, and he's most famous for basically holding on to the lying on to the and holding onto the bottom rope for about 10 minutes was his was what he did here. And you know, it's as a strategy, it is not absolutely terrible. next would be Al Snow, number 20, and they do a lot of, they do some, you know, they all tease eliminating or beating up Crash Holly. He's sort of the dummy here. And Road Dogg eliminates the British Bulldog, or as JR says, one dog eliminates another.
Yes. No, that's true.
Yeah. And the man is not lying. And Val Venus is next. And, then Funaki makes a run-in. Unfortunately, Taka's in the hospital, cannot do so. And again, Lawler has some issues confusing Chinese and Japanese, and he very awkwardly says Japanese over and over like he doesn't understand the word. So I found that strange, but, you know, it's what can you do?
It kind of hits a law about this point, isn't it?
It had gotten a little dull here. They probably could have... I don't know, maybe brought in Kane a little earlier, or I mean, it's nitpicking though. I mean, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Albert's in next, and Edge got eliminated from Val Venus, and they were doing the storyline. Well, it was in fact true that Edge was married to Val's sister.
Yeah.
Maybe they were engaged. I'm not sure when they got married, but and they were going to kind of do a storyline building on that, but then I think Val got hurt, and then by the time they came back, Edge and Christian were together and were tag team champions, so they never took advantage of it. Hardcore Holly's in next. Nothing much of note happens, and then after that is The Rock, and people are pretty excited about
yes.
the...
business picks up.
Business does pick up, and he DDT Crash and dumps him, although, you know, actually, Rock didn't eliminate a whole lot of guys here right away. That they kind of add to the crowd a bit, and Big Show was in next, and he was kind of in between at this point. He was still technically a babyface, but he was mad at The Rock for being the top guy, for being the favorite, and also during the angle where Rock sort of led the strike. He essentially was angry about the way he was treated during that time that The Rock had called everyone outside the ring a jabroni, which included the Big Show. Yeah. And, of course, he'd been the prior champion and had gotten, you know, a bit of a babyface push that, didn't get over as well as they were hoping for. Of course, you know, it wasn't really smart of them to feud with the Big Boss Man the Big Boss Man had made bad comments about the Big Show's dead father. So
that's right, yeah.
That was
a pretty awful feud.
Yeah. Test and Gangrel got eliminated, so they're clearing a little bit, and Bradshaw comes in, but the Mean Street Posse comes in, and they are able to get him out, and this leads to an Acolytes Mean Street Posse feud that I don't have no memory of and really don't want to ever see. So
it might have brought you to alcohol.
It might have, you know, there's no question about that. Perhaps it drove the Acolytes to alcohol, since they became known as the Drunken Brawlers after that. Kane is in, and he gets out Val Venus pretty quick, and then I think I forgot somebody. Did I forget? I forgot Billy Gunn at some point.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, you know, the only reason... Oh, yeah, Billy Gunn came in after The Rock. And the only reason is that I say this is because it gave me the opportunity to hear only a brief snippet. It was really only a taste of perhaps the greatest entrance music in the history of the WWE. I'm an ass man.
Yes.
Now, you know, it took me a... if you've never heard the Ass Man, I just want to share some of these lyrics. I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man. Yeah. I love to love 'em. I love to kick 'em. I love to shove 'em. I love to stick 'em. Love to flaunt 'em. I love to watch 'em. I love to pick 'em. Hopefully meaning choose. And I'm going to kick 'em. Because I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man. Yes, I'm an ass man. Oh, I'm an ass man. So many asses, so little time. Only a tight one can stop me on a dime. I'm a lover of every kind. The best surprises always sneak up from behind. I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man. Yes, I'm an ass man. Oh, I'm an ass man. Buns of glory, buns of steel, your lies won't give away the truth of how I feel. You walk behind me, I feel the heat. That's why the girls don't walk behind me down the street.
Well,
does that mean like that he's gonna rape them? Is that the problem?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I don't know.
So he is an ass man.
Yes, apparently.
He wants you to know that. So that's important.
Now that you've done that, I wish when William Shatner had hosted Raw, I wish that would have been one of the songs he did.
That would have been good.
That would have been...
That would have been good. And so, you know, I just felt like we need to share that because that was very important.
It is, yes.
The Godfather is in next, at number 29, and before this, Kane eliminates Prince Albert, and X-Pac is in at number 30. I believe he earned that through some sort of win at one. Doesn't really matter. Al Snow actually was able to eliminate Hardcore Holly. The Big Show eliminates the Godfather, so we're getting guys out. Rock dumps Al Snow. They had had a mini feud during the Rock and Sock Connection days.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that Kane was with Tori.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Tori?
I do remember Tori.
This is not Tori Wilson. This is a different Tori.
Yes.
This is a uglier, less talented Tori.
Yes, very much so.
So, I don't really know why she wasn't in the bikini contest. Not that I'm, like, complaining that she wasn't in the bikini contest. I mean, you know, she was attractive in a sense, but... So, anyway, we are... let's see. I completely missed, apparently, Mr. Ass eliminating Road Dogg, which
Yeah, yes,
was
that's
interesting.
right, yeah.
Yeah, apparently they argued, and then Kane dumped Billy Gunn. I was a little distracted, I guess, at this point in the match.
Yes.
I do remember the Outlaws, they distracted, they were fighting with Kane, and they were able to, the referees missed the Rock tossing X-Pac.
Tossing X-Pac, yeah, that's right.
And this is the final four is Kane, Big Show, Rock, and X-Pac.
Mm-hmm.
And like as we said, Rock tossed X-Pac, but it was distracted. Then Kane did a nice body slam on the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
But X-Pac was able to hit Kane with a spinning heel kick and eliminated him. They were sort of in the midst of a feud. In fact, Torrey was going to turn on Kane pretty soon and go with X-Pac.
Mm-hmm.
But the Show was able to press slam X-Pac out. And we're down to Rock and the Big Show. And Rock to the people's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to toss the Big Show, but Show hit him with a choke slam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Show puts the Rock on his shoulder. And he tries to toss him, kind of do run and do a toss him out. But Rock was able to hold on to the ropes. And the Show goes over the top rope. And Rock is able to win.
Pretty good finish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really well done. They actually would... You would find out weeks later that Rock's feet had actually hit the floor.
I remember that, yeah.
Show would insist that he had won the Royal Rumble, and it took him weeks to find the correct video footage.
Yes.
Every single week he would try to show some evidence that Rock's feet hit the floor. I believe there was like some still pictures, and it was sort of a setup. I believe this is also the final pay-per-view where the Big Show had his long hair. He cut it soon after
that's
this.
That's true, yeah.
He had a really bad Buff Bagwell haircut with the that looked bad on a 7-foot guy that big, and then he sort of went to more of a better hairstyle soon after that. But the match was 51-49. I think the it was about 90 seconds per ring entrance,
yeah,
which I think is a pretty good number. Two minutes is fine, too. Anywhere between 90 seconds and 2 minutes. Anything longer than that doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, I'd like it. I'd say 90 is my preference, guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, one year they did 60, which was too short, the 95 Royal Rumble, which they showed right before this match, because it's just getting over the whole 2 feet must hit the floor thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they just showed that. I don't know if that was built into this finish, which they didn't bring up. But they didn't even show the feet at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a mistake where Rock's feet, couldn't get the 1 foot thing, and they just kind of dropped it when he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what happened. But anyway, they did. Like I said, it was fine. The good beginning with Rikishi, middle, kind of got a little bogged down. End was great.
Yeah.
Really good Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And any more thoughts about it?
Yeah, that's just a good finish, and I think that's what everyone wants to. That's what everyone remembers it with, Show and Rock with that finish, and I think that pretty good way to end that. So to set up. Set up what was next. So.
Yeah, well, everyone thought it would be Rock and Hunter at WrestleMania, although that didn't end up happening. It ended up being a four-way. They did a rematch with Rock and Big Show at No Way Out, which Big Show won. There was some interference. I forget offhand who interfered, but anyway, they eventually did a three-way on Raw, and they did basically all the combinations of the match, and then they decided at the end to bring Mick Foley back for a one night only, and did a four way WrestleMania, which was a little disappointing. But they did. But then they ended up having Rock, and I think the decision to have Hunter win that match and then do the rematch, the singles rematch at Backlash, I think it was nice to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you want the babyface to win at the end, but maybe not every single year. Maybe like one out of every 10 years you can have the heel go out or just do something a little different,
Yeah.
And I think that year was a good year to do it.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. And I don't like it being set in stone where the babyface has to win it every year, because that kind of, limits you a little bit.
Exactly, yeah, so... All right, well, anything else to say before we close, or?
Good show at a good point in time for the company.
I yeah, think, so. It was great show. You know, it's worth checking out. Mm-hmm. If you can find it anywhere, it's it's a great, it's very memorable. You know, they were really in a hot period, and it's a wonderful wrestling show. So, anyway, thanks for listening to WrestleSpective Radio. We're gonna try to keep reviewing old wrestling shows or wrestling matches, talking a little bit about the history and the angles and storylines. If you're you can find this podcast at WrestleSpective.blogspot.com. You can also email us at WrestleSpective@gmail.com. And, if you have any questions or are interested in having us review anything in particular. And so check us out. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll talk to you later.
See ya.